Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Friday morning. Thanks for joining us at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate all you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. Want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. Feel a weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Williams.
Would be a little weird.
Be useful for you, though. It's just right down the road.
It wouldn't be weird if Williamsville was there.
Is that where Williamsville is?
No, it's in Philadelphia, remember?
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. Right. Well, you can't.
Oh, that didn't mean a lot to you, huh? That day at Neshoba County Fair meant a lot to you, didn't it?
All right, I need you to do me a favor and shut the hell up, okay? I'm an old man, and my memory sucks.
You're not that old.
I mean, I'm older than some people think I am, but I am old.
You're about as old as Advantage Business Systems.
That's old.
Well, okay. You have a point.
Yeah, you think about things that are, like, you know, I'm not 50 yet, but, like, that's old. The gray in my beard.
I got some, too.
Well, that's because, you know, if you have another child, that's when it starts popping out.
Yeah.
Wherever you are in our great state, you can enjoy. If you're an old man or a young man, young old woman or a young woman, you can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning. You just got to go to strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. They'll ship it right to you, and you can be enjoying the same coffee we have here in Starkville or in Tupelo every single day. And don't forget, that's a Bulldog initiative supporting business. Just like our friends over at Pip Printing and Signs, whatever it is your business needs, they do. Signs, printing, direct mail, mailing services, online ordering portals, marketing services, trade shows and events, wall graphic. I mean, I got it. You see this list? You see it? Robbie has to see
it. That's a big list.
He'll see it for you, and he'll play the role of you, and he just saw it. It's a long list of the stuff they do. You can find out a lot more at pipridgeland.com, their website. Get an idea of all the services they offer. But if you're a business and you're already spending money on printing, this is a way for you to get a great quality printing product and at the same time support the Bulldog Initiative, because 10% of every sale goes right back to them. Call Camden Baker at 601-499-5216. Find out more and to tell him, hey, I heard about you guys on Thunder and Lightning. I heard that you support the Bulldog Initiative. What can I do to get my business with Pip Printing? When you need printing, call Pip today. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you are looking for. I'm not even going to fool around and be like, hey, if you're coming to baseball, I'm not even going to do it. But if you need new Mississippi State gear, it's available to you at College Corner. They have two locations in the Jackson area to serve you: Ridgeland by Fleet Feet, Flowood by the Half Shell, or you can shop online at collegecornerstore.com. Whatever you need, maroon and white, get it at College Corner. Restaurant Tyler, Starkville's flagship restaurant, the best in town for lunch, for dinner, for Sunday brunch. Anytime you're in Starkville, you've got to make sure if you're doing, you know, if you're going to be here for an extended period, if you're going to be here for a night, for a couple days, a meal at Restaurant Tyler needs to be on your to-do list. They have the best blue plate in town for lunch. They have great steaks, pastas, chicken, pork for dinner. And then for Sunday brunch, whatever it is you like, breakfast or lunch, they've got both sides of that covered at Restaurant Tyler. If you want to eat the best meal in town, head to Restaurant Tyler. Got a little froggy there today.
Froggy throat?
I guess, man. I don't know what's going on there. Priority One Bank, there are 16 locations located. You would think locations would be located. There are 16 locations throughout Central Mississippi. They're here to serve you. They give you everything that a big corporate bank gives you, except for the crap The crap that you get from a big corporate bank, the runaround, the fact that you can't get anybody on the phone, the poor customer service. They don't have those things at Priority One Bank. They have great customer service. They have people you can get on the phone because you know them. They're in your community, and they have a great, easy-to-use mobile app that you can do a lot more than just move your money around on. If you're looking for everything that a big corporate bank gives you without any of the bad stuff, they've got it. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. Aren't we just doing this?
Yes, about 11 hours ago.
Not yesterday, but yesterday.
No, it was today.
Not today. Today.
That's correct.
Has anything changed?
I don't think so.
Great. Well, let's make it work then. One thing that's changed is Mississippi State's net up to 36. That's actually a little lower than I thought it might be. And of course, you know, one thing you have to remember is net doesn't exist in a vacuum. Other teams are playing games at all times. So, that's just where it is right now. Looking at State's remaining games, let's do that now. LSU sits at 85 after their win over Kentucky. They jumped up three spots. That will be a quad two game for Mississippi State on the road. Then there's Kentucky. Kentucky is currently 24th in the net. I don't know. Let's find out. Who does Kentucky play this weekend? It's like, oh, they host Alabama.
Oh.
Alabama's net is high enough that another loss for Kentucky probably doesn't knock them out of the top 30.
They should still be a quad one.
Could still be a quad one, but I mean, if it goes bad.
But they're starting to drop. They went from 20 to 24.
Yeah. And what's funny is after State, they have two resume killer games. After they play State, they host Arkansas and Vanderbilt. Can't lose either one.
Yeah. Well, even if they win, it doesn't matter. They're going to have to probably win by double digits to not avoid a drop.
They finished the year at Tennessee.
Yeah, they're probably going to drop out of the top 30.
Yeah, so that may end up being a quad two win for Mississippi State. We'll have to see. Auburn on the road, no worries there. They're currently seventh in the net. That's going to stay quad one if State can get it, or even if they lose, it's going to be a quad one loss. Texas A&M, work, you think? No one cares about Texas A&M Corpus Christi. They're at 49 as a road game. They're not going to drop 25 spots. That's going to stay a quad one opportunity. And then finally, South Carolina sitting at 57. That will be a quad two game for Mississippi State. So every game remaining on the schedule is a good game in terms of your resume. I was thinking about State. Something that occurred to me because I made the comment last night about Alabama. Alabama has seven losses on the year, all of them quad one. Every loss Alabama has is quad one. State has eight losses on the year. Six of them are quad one. They have a quad three loss. That's the loss at Georgia Tech. And then, of course, we all know the quad four loss against Southern. So very solid resume for Mississippi State. Opportunity to really bolster it in these final couple of weeks. But now they're going down to play an LSU team that, I mean, quite frankly, a couple of weeks ago, we were just like, that's just, they're not any good. And they're still not good. But they are hot right now. They won at South Carolina. They won against Kentucky. They are the first team, I think I read this stat, and if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. First team in SEC history to win back-to-back games against top 25 opponents by 1 point. They've won two games in a row by one over a ranked South Carolina team and a ranked Kentucky team. McMahon and Jans, to me, are kind of interesting because they're kind of tied at the hip a little bit. Both came into the league at the same time. McMahon interviewed for the job here in Starkville. Was a serious candidate for that job. State elects to go with Chris Jans. Chris Jans is on the verge of his second tournament appearance. McMahon's not making the tournament unless he makes a miracle run in the SEC tournament. But at the same time, McMahon had a true year zero down there. They had to replace everybody. They had massive transfer turnover. Whereas with Mississippi State, he had a good Jans had a good core to build around. From what you've seen of LSU, what are your thoughts on Matt McMahon? Do you think he's a guy who can get that program going in the right direction?
I don't know. Last year I would say no, he's a bust, and it wasn't just because he had to, replace. I did take into account that he did have to replace literally the entire roster. I think he might have had one guy left.
Yeah.
If that. But they just didn't seem like they were getting better. Like, to me, even if you're having, a tough season or you're rebuilding or whatever, your teams, like, I think back to Vic Schaefer in his first year. They won three conference games, but they beat a top 15 Georgia team at the end of the year. They took South Carolina to the wire, I think. They took Kentucky to the wire, I believe. Could be wrong with that, but they were competitive by the end of the year. That was a team that you could see getting marginally better.
Mm-hmm.
I just didn't think we saw that with LSU. They were not very good.
Mm-hmm.
And this year they kind of start off the same way. You know, they're losing ball games to bad teams. They lost to Nichols. They lost to Dayton. They just did not look like they were getting better.
Yeah.
But I think you're starting to see probably the foundation is starting to firm a little bit for him. They're not going to go to the NCAA tournament this year, no matter what they do outside of winning the tournament, an SEC tournament, that is. But they beat a Kentucky team that's top 20, that's really talented. They went on the road and beat South Carolina. They were in the game against Florida. They were in the game against Alabama for the most part. So their last few games have been really competitive, and that it's been a pretty much a gauntlet for them. They had Alabama, at Florida, at South Carolina, at home against Kentucky. And now you got a quad one type team in Mississippi State. Now it's not going to be a quad one game for them, but this is a quad one team, I think, in state. And you have an opportunity here to get another big win. So it's not going to be an easy game at all. It's tough to play in Pete Maravich Center. Their fans are probably going to be a little rejuvenated. And LSU does some weird things at home and in every sport. So I think that you're starting to see things come together a little bit for them, that they got some players that can make you pay. I think one of their best players has been out. I think Jalen Cook has been out for them. So, we'll see what happens. But this is a big game for State. You really need to keep this momentum going here. You have a chance. If you win this game, you come back home and play a Kentucky team that's up and down, you could potentially win six consecutive games, and then you're playing to really push your seeding up. And it changes the whole course of your season. And you're trying to get – really two more wins in SEC play. Every game at this point is important. So, it's not going to be an easy game at all. It's never easy going on the road.
Yeah, you mentioned Jalen Cook. Only has played 13 games this year. He was averaging 16 points per game before the injury. Jordan Wright, their leading scorer now, their leading active scorer. He's averaging just under 15 points a game. It's an LSU team. I mean, you look at their stats, and they're just – there's nothing super impressive. They barely out-rebound their opponents. They have more turnovers than assists on the season. They don't block a ton of shots. They don't force a ton of steals, although Jordan Wright has forced 48 of them. They are outscoring their opponents by about three per game. They're just bang average would be the way to put it. Will Baker, the only other Tiger, averaging double figures at 12 points per game. That date that loss to Nichols you mentioned, State, we've mentioned them with Southern having a quad four loss. The Nichols loss is so much worse than the loss for Southern. Southern is,
and that's hard to imagine.
Yeah, Southern 204 in the net. Nichols is 266 in the net. They are an 11-12 Southland Conference team on the season. And what's funny for Nichols is it's only a quad two win for them. At least
Mississippi Valley State is the
quad four win out of it, or quad one win out of it by beating Mississippi State.
Mississippi Valley State is the dead last team.
Still dead last, still winless. Still winless on the season.
Detroit Mercy, who somehow almost beat Ole Miss, is 359. Mississippi Valley is 362.
There's actually two teams between them, too. Coppin State and IUPUI.
Poor IUPUI, man. They have three wins. They have more wins than the last four teams.
Mm-hmm.
Ranked in the net, and they're still second to last.
Which is weird, right? Coppin State, both of their wins are quad four. IUPUI has a quad three win. Why are they so far behind? I don't know the answer to that.
What a schedule for VMI. 1-24, and they're 353 in the net.
And their one win is quad four. Up. What is going on there? what's funny, the bottom four teams in the net, Detroit Mercy, Coppin State, IUPUI, Mississippi Valley, are a combined six, and then hold on while I do math, 48, 70. They're a combined 6-96.
I want to see what the best record is like in the worst net. I'm gonna find it.
So
I'm scrolling through the 250s and nobody has a winning record yet.
I'm not in the 300s here. Okay,
Bowling Green. Bowling Green is
323. Fairleigh Dickinson is 11-14.
Oh,
all 11 of their wins are quad four.
Yikes.
Bethune-Cookman at 316 is 10-14. All 10 of their wins are quad four.
What?
You got something against Bethune-Cookman?
You said they were 316, right?
Oh. I don't know what that is.
I'm sure you don't.
Yeah.
Bowling Green is the first team with a winning record.
Okay. Northern Arizona is 12-15. 11 of their 12 wins, quad four. They're currently 313. Is there anybody down here with a winning record?
I mean, Bowling Green's 239.
I've been 21, but they're at 287. They're doing pretty well. Where's Bowling Green?
239.
That's incredible. 239. Yeah, 14-10. 12 of their 14 wins are quad four. They haven't played a quad one game. That's what's killing them. They would probably be 20 spots higher if they just had a quad one loss.
Yeah, you got to schedule good, man.
Yeah, you got, and the quad one opportunities are everywhere. You go on the road. You just have to find a top 75 team. Let's look at the top 75, right? Don't tell me that Bowling Green can't get a game with App State, Virginia Commonwealth, Richmond, Samford. Don't tell me that Bowling Green can't make that happen. Can't get a home and home with those teams.
Yeah, go play on the road somewhere. Somebody will play you.
Yeah, yeah.
Quinnipiac is the best worst team.
Okay.
They are 161. They're 18-6, and they
might win their tournament. If I had to guess,
they've gone 15-2 against quad four teams. So only three of their wins have come outside of quad four, and they were all quad three.
What'd you say their net was? 161. There they are.
161.
Yeah. Yeah, is there another one that stands out? Is there a single-digit loss? Marist is 14-9 at 187. 13 of their 14 wins are quad four. And then after that, it's just a bunch of a mismatch.
This is thrilling radio.
Well, I mean, I like talking about college basketball. It's also interesting to see the big teams that are down. Michigan is at 116. Obviously, we know about Arkansas. They're at 120 right this second. Let's see here. Georgia Tech, who State played, that's a bad loss at the end of the day, 146. Then they're right ahead of Missouri, 147. Where's Vanderbilt? Where are you, Commodores? 232.
Ugh.
Oh, and they lost their quad one win. No, that's Missouri that has a quad one win. Never mind. Not Vanderbilt. Does Missouri still have its quad one win? Missouri has two quad one wins now. Who did they beat? Oh, they beat who did they beat?
Who?
They had one where they beat Pitt. They beat Pitt in the NCAA, the SEC ACC challenge. They haven't won a conference game, so one of their non-conference games must have moved up to quad one that they won. So who could it have been? It's got to be Minnesota, right? Got to be Minnesota.
I don't know.
I'm into this discussion now. Minnesota, yep, Minnesota is at 73, and that game was played on the road. So, yeah, there you go.
Juwan Howard's probably fired after this year, right?
You know,
he got in that altercation where he slapped the coach. And
you can do that when you're winning, but when you're not, you can't. And the other thing to consider is, and we talked about this a little bit, there's going to be some big, big jobs open. This cycle. Ohio State is already open. Michigan is going to be open. Louisville is going to be open. Kentucky is likely to be open. I think Nate Oates gets one of those jobs. So Alabama's going to be open. I think Bruce Pearl is staying at Auburn. I feel like he's
built. Yeah, he's got a good deal going there.
I think he feels loyal to them too because they took a chance on him when he had that show cause.
Is him and John Cohen are close? I think.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Is there anything else that might open up? Like UCLA, like they're not good this year, and I don't know how much they'll tolerate of that. But they were good last year, so maybe he gets another year. Mick Cronin out there.
Bandy's going to open up, but I mean, how good of a job is that?
Not really a great job, I don't think.
Unless they invest.
Yeah, and then beyond that, in the conference, it just depends. You know, I mean, at the end of the day, Chris Beard is and Jans, I think too, are going to be candidates for some of these jobs. I think.
Yeah.
I think Beard maybe a little bit more, but I mean Jans might be a candidate for like some of the other jobs. I don't know that he's a candidate at Louisville or Kentucky, but he might be a candidate at Michigan.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm really interested to see like what Jans's long-term commitment is to Mississippi State. Like, is he just like using this as a stepping stone, or is he going to be willing? And I don't know either way.
Mm-hmm.
I think State has invested a lot and is starting to invest a lot in basketball. The fans are starting to invest in it. The NIL is good. They got a good support system as far as their boosters. Always have, you know, dating back to Richard Williams and Stansberry. But, you know, how long is he going to be here? I don't know. I mean, that's always a question with coaches, especially nowadays. Like, it's, you know, guys are just bouncing around so often.
I think Jans is pretty happy here at Mississippi State, but I mean, you know, you can always be happier. So, you know, that this State's going to have to be competitive with his salary and make sure they're staying involved in the NIL and the collective game and in the facilities game. So it's no different than anybody else outside of the top tier jobs, right? Kentucky can go get whoever they want, and their coach probably isn't going anywhere as long as he's winning. Whereas Mississippi State, you know, it's always going to be a concern. That's not a knock on Mississippi State. That's just the way of college basketball. It's the way of college sports, you know, and that's just how it goes. So we say all that. That was an interesting discussion, but we say all that to say Mississippi State LSU 7:30 tip in the PMAC. I'm going to be there. I'm heading down to see some of my Tiger family, and I'm taking my youngest with me. So this will be her first real college basketball experience, I believe. So she's been to a couple of women's games with me, but I was always working, so she couldn't, just go crazy. So we'll see.
Go eat at the Chimes.
That might be on the agenda if you know me. So, all right, let's. I can't. You know what, Colton, you win today. You win. I don't have the gas in the tank. Let's move on in to the rest of the show. That's brought to you by our friends over at the Mississippi Beef Council. We want to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner. If you're firing up the grill this weekend, nothing beats the sizzle of beef. Nobody is ever unhappy when they find out you're cooking steak. It's never happened in the history of the world. You've hosted a cookout or you've told the family, hey, cooking steaks tonight, and they've been like, aw, it's never happened. So be the hero. Put some steaks on the grill tonight. They had some great ones at Kroger today. I thought I had to be tempted to talk myself out of it for dinner tonight. Didn't have the calories to spare. Maybe another time. Anyway, I say all that to say that beef, it is what's for dinner. Thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District is the place to find smoked Southern soul food. Anytime you're in Starkville, you need to check out the menu at Two Brothers. They've added some cool new stuff on there, but they've still got all of your old favorites. And they have got a great place to, I mean, talk about the place to be during the spring. When the weather gets nice like this, it's in the 60s and the 70s. You want to hang out on the patio and enjoy yourself. Man, there's just no better time in the Cotton District than over at Two Brothers. Head over to Two Brothers Smoked Meats to enjoy some smoked Southern soul food. Great products and great service is what every business likes to promise you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. They've been doing it now for 49 years. A little longer than I've been doing it, Robbie. A little longer. But
not, you haven't quite
hit
that threshold.
I got a ways to go. I got a long time before I'm 49. But by the time I'm 49, they're 50. I'll never catch up.
So. That's right.
Oh, well. When you need technology for your business, give them a call. And if you need service for the business, call the same number that you called to make the sale. That's the difference, right? We're not talking about a 1-800 service number. Oh, well, our call is very important to you. You're the next in line. The average wait time is 48 minutes. You don't have that with Advantage Business Systems. You have people here in the state of Mississippi that can solve your problems a lot of times the exact same day because they're right here and just like you. Give them a call, 601-362-9192, or visit them online, absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. Maroon & Co., if you're going to be in Starkville this weekend, if you're going to the Hump, if you're going to Duty Noble, anytime you're here in town, before you head to an MSU sporting event, make a stop at Maroon & Co. Check out their incredible selection of Mississippi State merchandise, stuff you cannot get anywhere else, unique items, great polos, pullovers, button-downs, but stuff you can't find just anywhere. And, of course, they are the exclusive provider for Bulldog Initiative logo wear. If you want to wear the cool stuff that the coaches are wearing, you can only get it at Maroon & Co. Use the promo code THUNDER15 when you shop in the store or online to get 15% off any regular price item. Exclusions do apply. Check them out, Maroon & Co. So I don't know if you've heard this, Robbie, but we've put a Maroon & Co. ad at the beginning of the podcast as well, and it's a pre-recorded ad. So it's they go through all the stuff and they talk about the deals and the discounts, blah blah blah, and then at the end it's like exclusions may apply.
I love those.
It's like just came out of nowhere with that. So.
But when they speed those up, it's like, okay. I heard a little birdie told me yesterday that there's some really cool things coming to Maroon & Company in the next few months.
Yeah, I've heard that as well.
I'm excited.
The same chirping. Yeah. We'll have more details on that as it happens.
Yes.
Let's play a song.
Creighton, 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 Creighton.
Eric Payman is the top-rated player in the state of Mississippi for basketball, a power forward, four-star on 3, rated as the number 103 player regardless of position in the country. And he is a Mississippi State Bulldog out of Raymond High School. The Rangers? Is that right? Raymond Rangers, right?
Now you've stumped me.
I'm almost positive that's correct. Well, Raymond is a school because they're just never that good in football. Yeah, it's the Rangers.
You put me on the spot, and they are the Rangers.
They are the Rangers.
That's one of the ones I didn't know. That's a strike against me.
You know why? Because they're never good in football.
Yeah.
You know? They're good in basketball every now and then, but they're never good in football. But yeah, he has signed with Mississippi State. Only two players in this class, both four-star players: Delquan Warren, the point guard, and now Eric Payman, the power forward. He looks like a Cam Matthews clone a little bit in terms of the build, the physique, the athleticism. But if you watch his highlights, he's got a little bit more shooting touch than Cam does. So I think that's an interesting addition for Mississippi State. That team next year is going to be very interesting because they're obviously going to go deep into the portal. But at the same time, Hubbard back, Shaq Moore and Cam Matthews can come back for another year, and there's a lot of smoke. I know Paul Jones has reported that he believes they both will. So that gives you a really good veteran core to build around. Keyshawn Murphy should be a starter for you next year. I mean, like, if I'm trying to put together State's starting lineup next year, it probably is transfer. No, it's Shaq Moore, Hubbard, Cam Matthews, Keyshawn Murphy. You're probably looking at a transfer 5. Or you might play Keyshawn Murphy at the 5 and have a transfer 4. It just depends on what you
I probably wouldn't.
Play. You play him at the 4.
I think Keyshawn's – I still think he's odd man out as far as starting lineup.
Even next season, you think?
Well, I just don't think that Cam's going to play the 3. I think they're going to utilize him where he is. He's still going to be ahead of Keyshawn Murphy. So, you're going to have to convince – you're going to have to convince Keyshawn to – continue to play his role, and hopefully he does, but I can understand it too if he's not interested in that. I just don't see them switching things around like that. I think they're probably going to go after a transfer center.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you keep everything else as it is. But for the most part, I mean, outside of Tolu, your starting lineup is – and DJ, obviously, which are two huge pieces. Your starting lineup is –
You get three out of five back. So hold on. Let me say – if you said it, I just missed it because I was reading that text you just sent. I'm sorry that I dozed out there for a second. But so if Keyshawn's coming off the bench, don't they need to go transfer for four and five?
Well, I mean, Cam is – Keyshawn plays where Cam plays.
So then they need to get three is what you're saying.
Yes.
Okay.
And Payman, I like Payman a lot. And I think when people kind of see the details of his recruitment later on down the line, they're going to be impressed with how Mississippi State was able to land him. Because I think this guy's – he's shooting up the charts – late this season, he's having a tremendous year. And athletic, can shoot it. I think he can do a lot of things for you. It's just going to take a little time. I think he's a guy that's going to have to be patient and develop a little bit. And I think he's willing to do that. I don't think it's going to be like a Kamani Hamilton. That was one of the guys that was brought up yesterday when talking about him. You know, could he be a Kamani Hamilton type that doesn't want to do that? And that's valid, but I think that he's a guy that's willing to kind of stick around and like let Chris Jans and the staff mold him a little bit, but fits into what Mississippi State wants out of a player. And I think that he's going to be a good one for State. He's creeping up on the top 100 player nationally.
Yeah.
We're
103.
We're really high on him on three. We're four. He's a four-star, 18th best power forward in the country, number one player in the state. Pretty much consensus number one player in Mississippi this year. Good friends with Josh Hubbard. I think this is another good get. And, you know, the state of Mississippi's starting to put out a couple of really good players last few years.
Yeah, they have. They have. And Mississippi State has done a pretty good job of recruiting those guys, which has always kind of been the case, right? I mean, if you go through the years, for the most part, outside of the Provine guys in the early 2000s, you know, Mississippi State has been the college that has gotten the majority of top prospects, even the ones that didn't come to Mississippi State, Jonathan Bender, Travis Outlaw, and Monte Ellis. So it's just, you know, it's just a tradition that has continued, and we'll see what kind of
play. Yeah, you know, Josh Hubbard was one of the rare ones that State got beat out for, and they got him anyway.
They got him anyway, yeah. So,
I mean, that was really rare. I mean, dating back to Richard Williams, State has dominated in-state recruiting.
Yeah. State got him for the most part.
There was one guy that I remember that Rick Stansberry, I could be wrong, but I only remember like one guy that Rick Stansberry got beat for in state.
Johnny O'Brien?
No, I meant State and Ole Miss.
Okay. So who would it have been?
And that was Snoop White. When is Snoop White?
Yeah. State would have taken him, yeah. I don't think State recruited Deshaun Ruffin that hard.
No, they didn't.
So.
But, you know, that was kind of a time where, you know, State was kind of trying to climb back.
But at the same time, like I said, I mean, they just didn't, you know. So.
Yeah. But that was a guy like.
Got him. Don't get me wrong. They won that recruiting battle. They got him on campus. But, of course, at the same time, he's not there anymore.
I think Snoop White was the only one that Andy Kennedy really beat Rick Stansberry for head-to-head.
Yeah.
And I can't remember everybody's recruitment dating back to like the early 2000s and the 1990s and all that, but I don't remember very many that he lost.
Yeah, no.
And,
you
know, Ben Howland was the same way. I mean, Ben Howland won out eventually for DJ Jeffries, and State was basically the number two for DJ Jeffries when we went to Memphis. Got Malik Newman was a big one. Hugh Weatherspoon, which I don't know if Ole Miss was really in the game or what, but, you know, for the most part, State has done a really good job in state recruiting, and they're kind of keeping that rolling.
Yeah. I guess one last thing before we get out of here. Baseball's going to happen this weekend. I saw a tweet today from the actual Mississippi State account. And it was talking about the nice weather we're having. Like, perfect if you want to go to it for a walk or attend a baseball game. And I really wanted to quote tweet that with, well, a walk sounds nice. Be happy to go on a walk.
Yes.
That other
you can walk around your, you can walk around your neighborhood and get yelled at by Maria.
She doesn't yell at me. She's always, she's very supportive of me.
She said she's yelled at you a few times, but she was just kidding.
Yeah, but she's always super supportive. She's like, you look great, keep working. You know, she doesn't like Richard, which, you know, no surprise.
She hasn't invited you to her pool yet?
No, I mean, I met her like in the winter.
Oh, okay.
So maybe this summer.
Maria, invite him to your pool.
I would. I'm always down for a pool party. I'll cook. I'll bring some food.
She likes to cook too.
Yeah, she does. She does. So I live in a good neighborhood. Me and Paul over there, we run that neighborhood. Oh yeah, baseball. I was like, what were we talking about? So it's beyond my thought process to think this team is going to sweep Georgia Southern this weekend, right? That's not going to happen. So even if they but if they win the series, they're sitting at 4-4, Robbie. What are we doing? What are we talking? I'm going to ask the big question. I'll just ask it, and if people want to get mad at us, they can. I don't care. Are we in a spot where we might see a midseason change?
I mean, it can't be ruled out if this continues.
Yeah.
And if you're one of those people that says, you know, State's not going to make a change midseason, well, Zach Selman's already done that. So it's not exactly the Mississippi State way, but Zach Selman has shown that he's willing to move away from the Mississippi State way, and he's done it in a lot of different ways. So if this continues, you know, wouldn't shock me. If it seems like this team has no pulse, then that's when you try to pull the plug and you try to, you know, see if something can revive them. And we've seen it before. I mean, last year they tried to do it with the pitching coach.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the things that – these are the conversations that happen after you had a coach that was on the verge of being fired a year before. Mm-hmm. And you kept him.
Yeah.
Then whenever, you know, when you know those conversations are happening and there's a possibility that he could have lost his job last year, the first sign of distress, these conversations are coming up. We're talking about this on a weekly basis. The fans are getting louder and louder about it. And then it just creates so much negativity around the team that it's hard to block out. Yeah. And they've shown they have not been able to block out the noise from the fans the last 3 years.
Yeah.
Coaches, players, families, they haven't been able to block it out. It's affected them. They've gone after people behind the scenes. It's affected how they play. It's affected their mood. It's getting to them. So they've got to have some positive things happen. And by positive things, I mean, they have to stack wins here for several weeks.
Yeah.
They have to get some good graces back from the fan base, because the current situation where they're going, you know, back and forth and even losing back-to-back games in the midweek, this is not a healthy situation for that locker room.
No.
Which we were told was in a much better place, that they don't have, you know, the issues they had last year, and that may very well be true. But how do they react to losing two out of three games here? They've lost two out of three. They lost two midweek games to Austin Peay. How do they come back from that? How does this team get over the hump and put that stuff behind them? Because, you know, like I mentioned yesterday, you know, Chris Amon has told us this team is pissed off. They're focused. And they're 2-3, so that doesn't really seem to be the case. So I don't, you know, I went on that rant yesterday.
It was we've gone
on rants for 2 years now.
Yeah, I'm done ranting.
And I don't know. I think that might be my last one.
I'm done ranting.
I think I've said my piece. I think you've said your piece. I think we're just waiting around now. I don't know what else we can say about this baseball program that isn't just going to be repetitive. You know, we're just going through the motions on a weekly basis, and that's when you start to see changes being made. So until Chris Lemonis can and his team can turn it around here and go in a streak of winning, it's just going to get worse and worse, I think.
I agree with you. I agree with you 100%. So, all right. So if you're going to baseball this weekend, God bless you. I will be in Baton Rouge for basketball. And Robbie's heading over to Tuscaloosa this weekend as well for Mississippi State women's.
I'll basketball. Be
big game
Friday. Friday, I'll be covering high school basketball. Sunday, I'll probably be covering Mississippi State women. So
no trip to Duty Noble. Are you going to Saturday?
I'll be there Saturday. Saturday. Yeah, I'll be there Saturday. Yep.
Have fun with that. All right, guys. Have a great weekend. Robbie, I'll be back with you on Sunday evening and, of course, on Monday morning. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.